I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
This month, Streaming Things is brought to you by Chester Copperpot, Rabid Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Thomas Alexander, Emmy, Valerie, Stanton Valentino, Aaron Layton, Crystal Trujillo, John Collins,
Ghost,
Andrew Gray, Jen Robinson, Kate, Chloe Richardson, Kalisha Reeves, Kiki Newton, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Casey McCain, and Enza.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And this is Streaming Things. We no longer have a subtitle.
Just for now.
I wanted to do one just because I'm in your house again. And that's like...
Streaming Things, back to our roots.
The vibe of it made me want to say something.
Benjamin Parrish. It feels good to be back here, man.
Yeah, indeed.
It's been a minute.
Indeed. Steve is not here. You all will notice that immediately. So what we decided to do is not cover... Harry Potter, our marathon, not continue with Deathly Hallows Part 1 and 2 without Steve, because we've had enough Harry Potter episodes without all three of us present, and we don't want to give the Harry P fans any more short shrift. That's not our goal.
We could have gone for the trifecta, because you and I have both missed, but Steve has not.
It would have been it could have been completionist in its own way.
Yeah,
and they might have preferred that. Like now we've got a taste of it without each of them, what it's like to watch Harry Potter.
But we're at the finale, you know, Deathly Hallows Part 1 and Part 2.
Yeah, the two-parter.
We need that Steve Dementor voice, you know, mm-hmm. We got
to
have it.
So. Can't have. Well, I actually talked to Steve today and he said, you could have done this one without me because I think I hate Part 1, not to out him.
Oh, wow.
Because he watched all of them a couple weeks ago.
He hates Part 1?
I don't want to out him. Don't tell him I said that.
Okay.
Good thing
he
doesn't listen to the show.
I hope you're not listening.
But anyway, we just, Steve's been going through a lot of stuff. Pippin the Doug.
I'm such a good boy.
Had major surgery unexpectedly, and Steve's been dealing with that. And before that, we had a lot of holiday, shenanigans, different, mm-hmm. At the in-laws, all that stuff. All three of us had different things going on at different times. So we apologize to our listeners. We've kind of dropped the ball the last couple of weeks, but it's for good reasons for the most part, for the holidays and stuff. And we thought we'd come back strong early January, and then Steve had this tragedy. So he's taking the weekend to nurse Pippin back to health. So what we're going to do, we actually have Alex here.
Hey,
many of you may recognize Alex's sultry voice.
It's like smooth jazz.
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome back, friend.
Hello. Number six.
Number six.
I went and counted.
Wow.
Is it really?
Yeah. We miscounted last time. I think I said five was four.
Okay.
So yeah, I made sure this was right. This is sixth time.
It's not ironic, but it's good that you're here.
Thank
because
you.
I didn't tell you this. Maybe, I think Steve may have. You've been requested. Did he tell you this?
I told him.
And I didn't call attention to it, but part of me was just like, no, I don't believe you.
It's a real thing. I saw the messages.
What?
Multiple times you've been requested.
From me?
No, no.
Those go straight to the
your burner accounts.
Yeah, like, yeah. Just like, where it is.
We could tell.
Yeah, no, right. It was from patron Alex.
Sign all of them. Thanks, Alex.
And actually, it was because we have a lot more listeners now than we did when you were on the show. And so it's people that are like, I love the show. They haven't posted in a couple of days. I'm going to go back through some older episodes.
That's fun. Yeah.
And they found the ones with you. And nice. We're like, who's this fucking guy? Oh, hey. I like this fucking guy.
Well, that's cool.
They're all from Jersey, all of your fans.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. Yeah.
So Alex is back. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about The Last of Us, the video game, the show that's coming up, just kind of prep. We always do kind of a pregame show for when we start a new series. And so January 15th, which is you're listening to this on Monday, is this coming Sunday is the first episode of The Last of Us show on HBO. And we're going to start covering that week by week. We'll squeeze in the last two Harry Potters as well. Keep doing our Patreon episodes, keep doing the bonus movie episodes from the patrons demand. Mm-hmm. All that stuff's still going to be going on, but we're going to be covering The Last of Us week to week. So this is the first of that. But before we get into that, before I forget is really what it is.
The poll.
We have January poll. It's very important. All of our patrons get to vote on one specific movie that we watch for the month. We thought it would make sense to do post-apocalyptic movies since we're covering The Last of Us. So that'll be the theme for January. Don't forget, we got that Michael Cera themed vote going on for the watch along as well.
Youth in revolt or bust.
How that developed is...
We all blacked out, and at the end, when we came to, it was a Michael Cera theme thing.
It's one of those where it's just like you got strapped to, and you're just like, well, this is the result of like what we asked for. Like, this is our fault.
It's wonderful. So I nominate Book of Eli for my post-apocalyptic movie to be voted upon in the poll. Steve, who's not here, in absentia, has nominated Mad Max Fury Road, which is probably the best movie of the 2010s. I'll just go ahead and throw that out there.
It's up there for sure. We watched that for your bachelor party.
Yes, I love that movie.
Rented out the theater. It was amazing.
One of my rare perfect films.
Yeah.
It is truly a perfect
movie. It truly is. Not a frame I would change. Andy, what are you going to nominate?
I nominate Children of Men.
Hmm.
It's a 2006 movie directed by Alfonso Cuarón.
Hmm.
And it's incredible. It's one of the best movies ever made. It's one of my favorites.
It is. It's very, very good.
So anyway, vote for that.
And Alex.
I'm going the dystopian game show route, and I am bringing 1975 Paul Bartel's Death Race 2000 to the table.
I respect and love that.
With David Carradine and a pre-Rocky Sylvester Stallone.
Pre-Rocky. It's very important to note.
It is.
Before he was anybody.
It's got some of the cheesiest, hokiest, like noir-ish like dialogue behind it. It's amazing.
I might watch that tonight for funsies.
It's the best.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
It is the fucking best. The best 80 minutes.
Did they remade it, right?
Who cares?
Is that Jason Statham?
Yeah, they did that, but who cares?
I think it's just called Death Race.
You're correct, yeah.
You don't like that one?
Yeah, I never actually saw it. I don't understand.
You have no interest.
It's one of those where it's like, why do that?
Because
you didn't need to do that.
It's Jason fucking Statham.
Who has the ruby? It doesn't fucking matter. What was the one where he's transporter? No. Is it Transporter?
Transporter's amazing.
Okay, is it Transporter 2 where the kid is telling his parents in like the ER and like the ICU or whatever, the potato joke? And he's like, I have eyes, but I can't see. And as like the hospital door shuts, Jason Statham like looking in and like smiles because the family is safe, and he goes, a potato.
And just, a riddle?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, some people call it a joke, some people call it a riddle. But he had like taught the kid the joke, I guess, at some point in the movie. But it's just one of those where whenever I see Jason Statham, I just see the hospital door close on his face, his smile, and he knows the kid and the family is safe. And he delivers the punchline for the audience to see of
potato.
And then just death. Grisly voice, you know.
Since we covered the Fast and Furious movies for this show, my new favorite Jason Statham moment is when he is fighting some dude on a plane and he has a baby for some reason.
Of course.
And in the middle of the fight, he just turns to the baby and goes, "Where's that smile?" And
I forgot about when he was protecting the baby while he was fighting on the plane.
I think it's Expendables 3 with Harrison Ford, where Jason Statham is like, every time he has a line that is relayed back to Harrison Ford. So anytime they're talking like over a headset microphone, like face to face, no matter what, he'll say something. And Harrison Ford just goes, "I don't understand a goddamn thing you're saying." You know, like, he just gets more and more upset every time. It's the best.
They just filmed Harrison Ford talking to Jason Statham and put it in the movie.
Oh, he replaced Bruce Willis.
He's an asshole.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I haven't watched any of the Expendables.
The first one's all right. The first one's worth it. Just to kind of see everybody together.
Sure.
But I think it was Bruce Willis wanted like a really like small shooting schedule and be paid a bunch of money. And when they replaced him with Harrison Ford, Stallone said something along the lines of better actor, less money.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, Bruce Willis, notorious asshole.
Yes. Yeah. But then he had that, he had a brain disease.
Aphasia. And like, so you can only talk shit about him so much now.
Yeah.
But like prior to all of right. that, yeah, he had a reputation. You know,
for but sure. he's been suffering from it.
I mean, okay.
Yeah. You know?
Fair. Yeah.
Just saying, betterhelp.com. Anyhoozle. So yeah, we're talking about The Last of Us today. Really excited about it. So not only is Alex a very good friend of the show, he's been on many times, but it was serendipity that it was this episode for which we needed him, because Alex used to host a PlayStation podcast
for a year and some change.
Yeah. Maybe some 2 pence.
Yeah. Now I think you can only find it on Spotify.
The podcast
still out there?
Yeah, sure. It's still only on Spotify. I won't scrub it. I deleted the pod. Bean.
All the RSS feed and everything.
Yeah, all that's gone, but like Spotify still operates on its own like separate API, I guess. Okay. And yeah, it's
weird.
Yeah, I know.
They're hosting you for free.
I know. I went down this fucking rabbit hole of purging the internet of mine and Chris's old podcast. Like we have this now, and Ida Gaff, when we used it way back when, it didn't work out the way we thought it was going to.
Sure.
And so once this one started taking off, it's like, let's get rid of that shit. Yeah. It took way longer than you would think to try to just like remove it from the internet.
Yeah.
It's probably still out there some form.
It was for me, it was a quick like Twitter handle change and like kind of just scrubbed the whole like everything, like converted like YouTube stuff over to like whatever. But like in terms of everything, I just deleted the Podbean account. It took care of the RSS through everything. But yeah, Spotify still lives on.
It's ours now.
You know,
they got you and Rogan. They're sticking with it.
That's fine.
But you're the resident expert, and Andy's played the games many times.
Yeah, it's my second favorite game of all time. Ooh, is The Last of Us.
First is Super Mario two.
So I was gonna say three.
Controversial. Four. He likes to pull the grass out of the ground, throw them people.
Who doesn't love just Doki Doki Panic reskin? You know?
My favorite game of all time is Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask.
The tracks.
I think that The Last of Us is the best story ever told in gaming, and probably like the best made game of all time. Probably, but not my favorite of all time.
Prior to the sequel being announced and subsequently released and playing it. So when like you finished it, did you think it needed a sequel?
Absolutely not. I was genuinely upset when they announced the sequel. Yeah. I was like, you had something perfect and it ended perfectly. I don't need it.
Did that change after you played it?
100%.
Cool. Yeah.
Part two is incredible.
Yeah.
It's so fucking good. And even like when I saw the announcement trailer, I was like, okay, I'm in.
Oh, you know? 100%. Yeah, yeah.
But like when it first like leaked that it was going to be a thing, I was like, no, don't do that.
It was unnecessary. It felt, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It felt like you can't go back to that well, you know. But yeah, no. Pulled it off.
Chris, you just played it.
Yes. But because of this show, like I wanted to have,
I've been trying to get you to play it for like 10 years,
many years. And then Jimmy, another friend of ours, actually finally bought me the final copy of the game that I ended up playing. And that's how bad he wanted me to play it. And that's why I did it. But we do this thing for each show we cover. We always like have a segment that's somewhat akin to Easter eggs, you know, like especially if it's based on source material, it's very easy. So with Stranger Things, it was which movie in the 80s is this thing from that they're trying to reference? Mm-hmm. And with House of the Dragon, it was what part of the book can we explore a little more from this, or what Game of Thrones nuggets? And so I was like, I got to play the fucking game so we can do the thing that we do for the show.
Yeah. You got to immerse yourself in the world. And that's such a good one to do.
Now we can have Easter eggs from the game as a segment, and we can have our top three favorite moments, and we got to call them something.
Yeah, like I was clickers. Say, we had Easter eggs. We had dragon eggs.
Our fireflies or something.
Ooh,
you know,
fireflies isn't bad.
Yeah,
we'll have to come up with little cool names for the segments. But and by the way, if you haven't played the game, it's safe to listen to this episode until we say it's not. If we decide we want to talk about something, but really, what we wanted to do is honestly get some SEO and let people know we're talking about The Last of Us, but also, you know, riff, apologize for the last couple of weeks and us slacking off, but also get everybody prepared for what, because I truly believe this is me having finished the game and knowing the talent behind the show, because the show has cast Pedro Pascal as Joel, Bella Ramsey as Ellie, Nick Offerman is playing Bill. they've got an incredible cast. Neil Druckmann, co-president of Naughty Dog and writer, creator of the game, is heavily involved in the show. Mm-hmm. And Craig Mazin is the co-creator of the show and show running the show. Mm-hmm. And he did Chernobyl.
Yes. Yeah. And Hangover 3, for which, what that's worth.
You know.
I mean, Chernobyl is such a great like lateral move.
It's so perfect.
Know. Yeah.
I love that show. Yeah. And with all of that together, I really think that there is every reason to expect that this will be an incredible show. Probably the best of the year. And I know it's January, but like that's how strong this talent is.
It's definitely its ceiling, I think, for sure. Yeah. It seems like such a slam dunk.
All they have to do is tell the story of the game,
mm-hmm.
which is a cinematic game.
Mm-hmm.
Which you could say, yeah, that's what you said about Uncharted, and look what we got in that movie.
They fucked with the recipe, though.
That's what
you
I'm
know,
saying.
They're over there, you know, putting lemon juice in the thing. You don't put lemon juice in.
You don't do that. You don't do that.
Uncharted. Did you see it?
The movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not worth it. I mean, yeah.
No. Okay.
Well, this is a direct quote from Neil Druckmann. He told The Hollywood Reporter, The Last of Us will not stray from the source material. We have no plans to tell any stories beyond adapting the games. We won't run into the same issue as Game of Thrones. With some shade thrown at Game of Thrones, justifiably there. So basically he's saying we're not going to tell any in between stories, after stories, before stories, anything like that, mm-hmm. Which is good news if you're a huge fan of the game and you're worried about how far they might go. They did say that there won't be any spores. Have you guys heard this?
Okay.
I have not heard this. Really?
Yeah. So, okay, let's do this real quick. Let's talk about the spores in a second. But for the listeners that haven't played the game, the premise of The Last of Us is it's a post-apocalyptic game. It's something like zombies, basically, but mm-hmm. a little more medically like substantiated. Fungal. Yeah, it's a fungal thing.
Yeah.
And
cordyceps. It's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Yeah. That is like ants. Yeah. That's right. Ants that get all fucked up with the zombie virus.
Which literally infects their brain and takes control of them, takes them up into the sunlight so more can sprout out of its head and it can grow and infect other ants.
And these zombies have like big mushrooms growing out of their face and shit. But if they bite you, you also become an evil mushroom man.
Yes.
And so that it becomes.
Do you know the mushroom man?
It becomes, you know, so our main character, Joel. You'll find a lot about him in the very beginning of the show. We're very certain that drives his main darkness and motivation. And then he comes in contact with a young girl named Ellie, and he gets charged with keeping her safe and traveling her across the country. That's the premise of the show.
Yes.
So as part of these fungus zombies, another thing that when they get to a certain stage of their zombie development, they actually just kind of stick to the wall and become a tree.
It gets so fucked up and awesome in the game.
And that's post bloater stage, right? When they just stick to the wall and sprout like fungus everywhere.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
they kind of just pop and get stuck on the wall.
Leads you to believe hold on. Wouldn't eventually, if you just stayed in a bunker, they would all be gone because they would just burst into spores eventually.
You gotta deal with the spores.
Yeah. The spores are like, you said there's no spores. I didn't know that, but yeah.
So in the game,
you're wearing gas masks and stuff.
There's no spores. That's what I've been told.
Okay. I could see how you would need to do that. Cause like, that's a lot of like
CGI wise. You mean,
I mean, well, it's just like CGI wise, but then it's a lot of like gas masks on, off.
I'm sure Pedro Pascal was like, hold on a second.
Can I show my face once?
Can I just fucking show my face?
You know, even if
what am I, Tom Hardy? You got the wrong guy.
Even if it is just like, you know, every now and then, like, yeah, I could see where just like kicking the spores.
There is no narrative. I was arguing on TikTok. Mm-hmm. There is no narrative reason to need the spores.
No.
At all. Like literally in the game, the only function the spores have is initiate mask animation.
Well, and it really drives, I think, the higher stakes.
Yes. Like, oh shit, I'm about to have to fight.
Now it's airborne. Cause that was the thing too. Like going like, translating it to like, you know, real life stuff with like COVID. It's one of those where I remember being like, God, thank God it's not like just like this airborne like fungal like breathability thing.
Yeah.
You know? So like I think, yeah, like taking that out, like how like you said, it's a narrative thing. It just makes it, I think, harder to combat if it's something where it's like you said, you know, written in like that with the gas masks and
I'm ambivalent about it. Yeah. Like
they added some kind of mechanic, like some kind of tendrils mechanic to replace the spores or something. I don't know for sure, but it makes sense with them. I think it's just to keep the actors out of masks is probably the main reason.
Yeah.
And also the special effects on spores is probably a little tough. Like it's like
it's a lot
minuscule, you know,
yeah.
It's a lot of what's the word when it's like just labor intensive, you know, we'll say,
labor intensive is perfect. Let's go with that.
You don't want to pay the effects guys to put little dots everywhere all the time. So that's the only major change that I know of, though. And so Let me read another of this quote here. They're not going to be dragging this out either. So the first season of The Last of Us will be
9 episodes, I think.
I think so.
I was looking it up earlier today. I'm pretty sure it's 9.
I think you're right.
I know that the
somebody said 8, and then there have been reports of 10. So it makes sense to me that it would be 9. Yeah,
get the average out of that.
Well, you know,
I know that they're going to be fairly long. The premiere was 84 minutes.
The first episode's like a movie. The second episode's 55, though.
Oh, solid.
So it just has a really long premiere, and I know you. We all know why. Right.
Yeah.
Like the little bit of the game, and you're like, okay, that'd be a good episode. The
story is important.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're probably going to get all that. It's going to be the whole episode, right?
I would think at least like the we time, like the opening cutscene.
I think it would lead a little into the current timeline.
The first 20 minutes of the game.
I would say that will be about the first 20 minutes of the episode. I think you could beat
really
that. Yeah. I think that would be the cold open. You're going to get that. That's
if we got that as the cold open, I would love it.
Yeah. I think it's going to be cold open of the episode. Same as the cold open of the game, almost like beat for beat, shot for shot. Cause I think that's what you have to do really to like lure in. Cause that's, I mean, I'm looking at this as kind of like Frank Darabont's Walking Dead, like that one season and that first episode in particular, where it is just amazing. Like knock it out of the park, right? And like that's what they have to do. And I think I don't know the better way to open the show than to just do almost beat for beat the cold open too, because that is the best way to introduce these people to the game as well, and like the story and everything.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I think that's likely, and I'm really happy that I read these reports of the entire game being told in the story of the first season, because I remember calling Andy,
I thought that they were going to spread it out.
The game took me fucking 15 hours to play. Right. Like the story could easily be told in 10 hours of television. 100%. Please don't drag it out. And like, at what point would you end on, like, to have a transition, you know, what part of the story would you end a season on? It would be terrible.
Stop it either before winter or the first season would end at Pittsburgh. End at leaving Pittsburgh.
That's what I said too.
Yeah. Yeah. And that would be, I would be angry to have to wait a year and a half.
Yeah, for real.
From that point on. Plus, the trailer showed snow. Mm-hmm. And that's what told me, you know, because in the game, it's told in seasons. And the finals toward the end is winter, obviously. So I was like, hey, I see snow. I think there's a good chance they're going to tell the whole story. So that's great. By the way, if you've never played the game, you're going to love this story. It's heartbreaking, but awesome. I mean, it's literally one of the best stories. I've been reading books, reading comic books, playing games, watching movies. My whole life, as often as I can, a disgusting amount, right? This is one of the best stories I've ever had told to me. And it was from this video game. I promise you.
It's such a great, like, lived in world that they made and everything too. Like, it feels existable.
And it's being borrowed and cribbed on so much by so much like popular media now. Like, if you like The Mandalorian, you're going to love The Last of Us. What else has come out recently that's been God of War, the reboot in 2018, and then Ragnarok
you mean like Grizzled Warrior and Child Adventures?
As
a shtick thing?
Exactly. You have the adult and the charge that they are given that they didn't particularly want.
Yeah, The Last of Us.
Massive escort quest.
Yes, exactly. Escort quest. That's a perfect way to put it.
The Last of Us is basically if Snake Plissken had Macaulay Culkin as a sidekick, and then you get the idea of what it's like, right? Is that accurate?
I mean...
Like I'm talking about Kevin.
Macaulay Culkin in his late 30s?
No. Like
I don't want to walk into your show and your table and tell you you're wrong.
like Kevin from Home Alone. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Because
he's capable of handling himself, much like Ellie.
But do you think Kevin from Home Alone could swim?
He could, probably.
Probably.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah. He can definitely,
He's not just pushing wood pallets at you.
That was, God, I hated those missions.
Yeah.
So I just wanted you guys to be aware of what that is. And I'm so excited for it. And I want to address first off too. There's a lot of criticism of Bella Ramsey, as the cast here.
Why?
You haven't heard this?
No.
It's gross. Do you want to get into it? I really don't want to. I will.
Ooh, I mean, I don't know if I want to get into it, but I'd love to just.
Have you heard this?
No, I don't just want to shine a light on whatever people might be mad about
well,
this.
I was just saying, I don't want to. The only reason I brought it up was like, don't email me with the bullshit. Cause like,
sure.
Cause I think every time we talk about a new show, we open the Streaming Things fandom up, which is the idea. Like that's the goal. Right. Yeah, but I don't want to let any toxicity in as well. Mm-hmm. Like, so I think Bella Ramsey is an incredible casting choice as Ellie.
Yeah.
Just like, because
Ellie ignored the call.
Exactly.
Fucking love her.
Lady Mormont. Like, you have to have someone who can play like a child, right? Mm-hmm. Which is what Ellie is. But also, and who, like, reading from the joke book, like this very charismatic, sweet child. But at the same time, this child will kill you. Yes. Right. And it's like, who do you get to play that? Lady Mormont is like the perfect choice.
Yeah. Cause Ellie's such a, I mean, like, I think, Bella Ramsey is the perfect choice to play a character who was like a kid who was forced to grow up way earlier than they needed to. I mean, she's born into this basically.
Yeah. You know? And it's like Carl from Walking Dead.
So, so there's that sort of like lighthearted, like childlike nature that Ellie has too, but also that very much like stoic maturity that she develops over time as like her time with Joel and everything. And yeah. That's such a good choice. I didn't know people were.
Well, like I said, I just wanted to bring it up to where we could not talk about it, if that makes any sense. Yeah, like, true. I don't want people eat, because I get that on TikTok a lot, where like somebody tries to throw their 2 cents in, but it's like, this 2 cents has been thrown down the well a million times. I'm covered in pennies already, and I've already told you I disagree. And the whole thing is it's kind of a toxic bullying thing, where essentially they don't think Bella Ramsey looks like Ellie.
Oh, who gives a shit?
And which is the dumbest argument in the world.
Pedro Pascal's like Hispanic or something, and they don't. Nobody's complaining about that.
Nobody's complaining about Joel for the most part. Yeah. So there's some misogyny to it always, of course. But at the same time, it doesn't even make any sense, because when you adapt something, like, you need to get the essence of the character. You can't like take it straight from a page or from a game and find the person who looks identical to them. That's not what any casting director does.
I don't want just the whole like, she doesn't look like a video game character, when like, video game characters don't exist.
No, exactly.
You know, like, video games. Actually,
have you heard the whole, you're the super video game guy, the controversy about Last of Us and the Elliot Page design?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was another game that Elliot Page.
Beyond Two Souls.
Beyond Two Souls. Yeah. And there's some evidence or thought that they literally stole the idea of that character design, right?
I mean,
that's guaranteed.
I was working at GameStop at that time, and people would see the Last of Us posters and be like, oh, is that, at the time, you know,
Beyond Two Souls was the bigger game, right?
Well, no.
Like, I mean, like, planned to be. Like, it was the bigger deal.
Last of Us, man. Last of Us was Naughty Dog coming off of the Uncharted trilogy.
That's true.
Beyond was from Quantic Dream, who did
Dying Light.
They were coming.
No, Heavy Rain.
Heavy Rain.
Heavy Rain.
Yeah. And so I watched a video about this. So Heavy Rain was like this great game that had horrible voice acting, like hilariously bad voice acting.
Heavy Rain is a great game that has voice actors who are very French and perhaps speak English as a second language.
Is that what it is?
But like, the problem wasn't so much that everybody's voice was bad, but particularly the children actors' voices are awful.
Well, the clip I saw was this grown ass man yelling at somebody in the rain, and it sounded terrible.
It's totally cornball.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it was French people.
So they hire Willem Dafoe and Elliot Page to voice act Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah.
And like, the plot was kind of similar too, right?
No, Beyond Two Souls is about a girl who like communicates, can move between time with a ghost. I never actually played Beyond Two Souls, but I think that I'm pulling that from memory.
Yeah, she has like a little ghost pal that she communicates with and stuff. I played the like demo or something back in the day, but never actually.
But then Last of Us came out with this character that looks pretty similar to Elliot Page.
The game's released very similarly. Like,
and Beyond Two Souls was upset.
Yeah. Well, Elliot Page was upset because like, they had felt that, you know, they're trying to promote this game that's coming out, and then feeling like their likeness is being aped and, you know, in this other game that is bigger and more successful critically and commercially.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah.
And Willem Dafoe was really high and didn't know about any of this.
Let him do whatever.
I didn't remember any of this, but now that you're bringing it up, I do.
Yeah. I've been getting into the wormhole, because I missed all of this because I didn't play the first game. And the only thing I knew of Last of Us was that teaser trailer for Last of Us Part 2 that Andy made me drunkenly watch like 6 times and was really good in his defense. I was like, I don't even have the context for this, and this is amazing.
Yeah,
I'm talking about when she's playing the guitar and Joel comes in.
So
are you
good.
Sure you want to do this?
So good. Yeah,
Drunk Andy knows what's up.
The fucking crowd pop on that. Like,
yeah,
you're watching it from like the E3 conference.
Yeah, that's the only clip I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And they go,
yeah.
As soon as you see the Firefly logo, everybody goes nuts. But anywhoozle. So that's my only like the thing with it. Now that I'm playing the games, I'm like trying to get into this pop culture from 2013. And
sure. Yeah, no,
it's interesting stuff.
I'm like steadily a decade behind.
Yeah, I get it.
You know.
But
I'm 10 years ahead of the city of Florence and 10 years behind everybody else.
It's Florence, y'all. Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. You know, times are tough. We just got through COVID, right? Everybody's been stuck in their homes for years. We're readdressing life itself. We don't know what's going on. We know that we need to get to the gym. I know I do. I know I need to eat healthy. I got to take vitamins. I got to take minerals. I got to go get a physical every 6 months or so. Sometimes I do it every 2 or 3 years just to see what'll happen. But I know that I need to do it. But it's easy to sweep mental health under the rug. It's the only illness that tells you that you don't have it. And it's really difficult to start looking into. You know, you got to drive. Where do you find a therapist? Is there a therapist store? I don't know of one, but there is an app called BetterHelp that'll help link you with a therapist to suit all of your needs. You can shop through hundreds, nay, thousands of different therapists and find one that helps you get through the day, that helps you address the problems that you're having. And if at any time you feel like they're not, you can easily switch therapists or stop at any time. Mental health has never been easier to access than it is with BetterHelp. Our own host, Steve, has been using it ever since we started being sponsored by BetterHelp, and he says that it has helped him immensely. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/streamingthings. I think this is the only video game. I can honestly say that God of War 2018, like I think Alex said it best, it's a game that'll make you want to be a better father, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's such a great story.
But yeah. I can't remember crying.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't play a lot of narrative games anymore. I honestly don't. I'm sure there's a lot that it would make me cry because I'm a softie, but I can't remember crying the way that I did playing The Last of Us Part One.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the end, and yeah. I'm not going to say what it is, but the end, I like called Andy and shit. I was really upset. Like, this is insane. Yeah, I can't even talk right now.
It was a 10 years removed. I told you so. It felt so good.
But like the thing too, right, is without spoiling anything. So like The Last of Us comes out at the height of, you know, like the Mass Effect stuff, The Walking Dead, the Telltale games, where there is that player agency where you're making those choices to like, do you want to do X? Do you want to do Y? And there's two separate endings. And like, so this entire time, I loved the fact that Naughty Dog really stripped that from there, because that is such a game where like you're playing as Joel this entire time and you're kind of like,
all you're saying, it would have been easy for them to have a different choice ending for that.
Yeah, but to actually force you to be like, oh, like even if you don't want to do like the ending of this game, like go through the stuff you have to go through. And I love the fact that like, oh, like you've got to reconcile with the fact that like, oh my God, like
that's what made it so interesting to me. I'd never played a game like that. Because I've never played the Uncharted games either. And I've heard they're amazing.
They're real. I mean, if you like Indiana Jones and like
there's no there's no boss, there's no giant thing. It's just a story that you get to play.
And then like you face like monster closets.
Like there was like a
big thing, like every like 3 or 4 hours.
There was a section toward the end where there was two bloaters and a bunch, you know, and like it was kind of hard at the end, but there was no real like ta-da. Mm. It was in that last area where you do the thing. It wasn't that hard.
They
to
have
play
like
through.
Showcase moments throughout the game.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's not like hey, here's the big boss that you've been hearing about the whole game. And now you finally defeated him.
Right.
Saved the princess. You know, there's nothing like that.
I almost said something spoilery, but you might be surprised who the big bad of the game is. It's very, very cool. I was shocked and I'm so excited to start the second one. And there's a lot of controversy about the second one. A lot of, I don't want to insult you if you don't like the second game. I'm sure there's a lot of legitimate reasons to dislike the second game, but I feel like from what I've gathered from just entering this pop culture space is that it is a lot of immature, borderline, if not overt, misogyny and bigotry that makes people not like the second game.
1,000%. Okay. Anybody that doesn't like this game is one of those things, or they just don't understand games. It's fucking incredible. It's such a good game.
Mm. I'm enjoying it a lot so far. And I've already seen some of the most controversial choices. And I called Andy, like, I can't say anything without the spoilers.
That's how I feel. Cause like there's certain ways I want to describe Last of Us 2 and just be like, oh, it's like this. And I'm like, no, that like maybe is like a reach of a spoiler. So like it sucks. Like, cause you know, you don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to ruin anybody's experience.
Right. Well, we're talking about episodes that are going to come out like 2 years from now, you know, maybe. Yeah.
So yeah. Maybe. Well, that's what he said. There's a quote from that too.
Discovery has their way.
he said the show's first season is expected to cover the entirety of the first game story. That's what the Hollywood Reporter reported. The Hollywood Reporter reported. There's no better way to say that, but that's just a fact, which means a second season would likely
reported,
which means the second season would likely cover the sequel. And as for The Last of Us Part 3, Druckmann only said, I think there's more story to tell.
Last
of Us Part 3 rumors have been amok.
I want Naughty Dog to make something else.
Yes.
Let them do
that. That is an issue with like the development time for a major AAA title. It is like literally the entire length of a generation of a console.
Unless you're splitting your team up between multiple games, you know, like some studios can do or whatever. But yeah.
What have they been doing since this is part two?
Working on something, you know, like
maybe three, you're saying?
Maybe three, maybe another Uncharted game. Like Naughty Dog's been, you know, quiet or whatever, as far as I know. I'm pretty removed from the space anymore. But like, yeah, like it takes 3-4 years to like even get that started because they announced Last of Us Part Two like
shortly after.
It was like 3 years before the game came out, I feel like.
Well, they announce it, but they've been developing it for years before they announce it.
Yeah, you know, but when, then it was still like years after that. And there's still delays and still delays. And that's the thing is like, I would love to see, because Naughty Dog is, you know, one of the best development studios in video games. And to like give them an opportunity to be like, hey, tell a different story. Because like, you know, with Uncharted, people were like, hey, do something else. And we got Last of Us. So let them do something else. Mm-hmm. You know, see that's what else is out there.
But hear me out.
Yeah.
Trilogies are cool.
Trilogies are cool.
Duologies, nobody has a favorite duology. Name one.
God of War.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
That's a two-parter.
Now, you could have counted. Here's the counter. Can I counter myself?
Yeah.
There's a lot of trilogies and quadrilogies that would have been epic duologies that they let go on too long and ruined. Terminator.
We have to have this conversation after you finish the second game. There's a big piece of the puzzle that you don't have.
I'm missing a lot of the puzzle.
So,
but so far, I'm feeling vindicated with my rant after finishing the first game. So feeling pretty good about that. I'm so excited for this show.
I am too. It's on the family calendar, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, you guys, what do you mean the family one? Like you have one in the kitchen?
No, well, like in our phones, we have a synced calendar.
Oh, okay. So I pictured a literal calendar with a nail in the kitchen.
Honestly, if we did, it would be there. I would be like stamping that thing, like, no plans on Sunday, you know? Like,
so what's the family calendar used for? Like, hey, I'm not available this day.
Appointments and like just if like she has plans, I have plans, stuff like tonight.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Like tonight, my wife has a her friend's dad passed away. Mm. And so she's going to like the benefit. Mm-hmm. Which is just at a bar nearby, but she told me about this weeks ago.
Yeah.
And she said, hey, don't forget, you got to take the baby because I'm going to blah, blah, blah later. Yeah. And I was like, oh shit, I did forget because I have a podcast at 5:30. What time is it? And we had to kind of work it out.
Yeah.
I was like, I should be home by 7 or so you can leave. But if I had the calendar,
man,
holy shit, I wouldn't have made this mistake.
Yeah.
That's fair, man.
Cause we typically record pretty early on Sundays, but Andy, was watching the B game.
I had watched the Bengals.
I don't blame you.
They did win.
They did win.
27-16.
Yeah.
I Googled to see what mood you'd be in.
Yeah. Is he going to be pissed? Well, we're clinched for the, playoffs.
Like cheeks.
You know it.
Yes. Are you a football fan?
They pinched it off like 2 weeks ago.
You sport ball vaguely, right?
A sport.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we knew we were in the postseason regardless. This just mattered for where in the postseason, how are the, you know, cards going to lay? And so
I saw Joe Mixon did, he mocked the NFL's coin toss.
Did dude mm-hmm. is fucking awesome. Cause like with, obviously with everything that went down with the Bills, and DeMar Hamlin, there was no right answer to how,
right.
How
zero right answers.
And they did the right thing by not continuing the game. And I don't want to wax lyrical about the NFL when we're talking about The Last of Us, but the Bengals did get fucked with the way the NFL decided to do things. So when, Mixon, had a touchdown, run at some point, in like the first half, he had a coin like stashed away in his glove or a sock mm-hmm. or something, and pulled it out and like flipped the coin. And
I think it was
like,
his ass.
Kicked it away.
He smuggled it on field.
Could have been.
It was in his glove.
They're gonna just couldn't wait to score to get that thing out of there.
Gotta keep running.
They're going to start setting up metal detectors for the players to run out to make sure they're not smuggling no coins no more.
But anyway, so that's all that was going on. If we'd had a family calendar.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have had a coin in his ass. It would have solved everything.
Right.
So I'm bringing it back full circle.
There it is. kind of, you know. But.
And speaking of calendars, this show takes place. I'm trying to bring it back. They actually did move the timeline up a bit. If I'm not mistaken, I think the part with Joel that the game opens up on.
It's 17 years, right?
2003 is, I think, when that takes place in the show, whereas it would have been early 90s or something.
I think
in the game, right?
In the game, I don't remember where the first 20 minutes, like first 10, 20 minutes takes place, but I think the game itself is like 2032.
Really?
I thought so.
I think right around 20 COVID, I think, is when the actual outbreak takes place.
So, oh, interesting.
I think it's that the I read timing that.
That would be fucking genius. But so they do a pretty good job of the game of making it kind of a timeless piece. You know, there's no like, hey, go grab your Furby. Let's go.
Oh, you're
you know?
Right, Alex. It would be 2033 to 2037.
Because I think maybe the first 20 minutes is 2013 and then the rest of the game is 2032. Because I think there's 19 years.
Is it 19? I thought it was 17, but well, close the, enough. Point yeah, being, yeah. It's a long time from the beginning to yeah. where the majority of the story takes
he's,
place.
He's yes. going to be wizened and ragged and, yeah. you know, getting to see that kind of like more.
Well, it makes Joel. Sense too. For the time period was important for the show because there's certain pop culture things in the game that like Ellie will sing certain songs mm-hmm. like Take On Me. I just got mm-hmm. to that part.
Oh, did you? oh, I fucking love that. That's like my favorite part of part two. It's so fucking.
It's like really long too. Like, mm-hmm. like sings the whole song.
The whole yeah. thing.
You should have yeah. kissed me. Yeah, it was a good moment.
Interactive guitar playing.
So don't worry. So she's fun. Still going to know Take On Me. Like yeah. canonically, it'll have happened in that universe, right?
Hopefully.
She'll also know who Britney Spears is. Like, this is all good stuff.
Get those Pearl Jam rights.
yeah, whatever they got to do.
My poker face.
But if you haven't.
Picture the more modern things that they're going to use for
her. Just some gum goo goo for
Uptown
Gaga.
Uptown funk you up. Like, oh, no.
Uptown funk you up. If you haven't seen Chernobyl and Craig Mazin is the major creative driving force behind the show, please stop listening to this and go watch it. It's a limited series. It's only one season.
Six episodes, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to get through. It's just a couple movies long and it's one of the best limited series ever. I put that up there with Westworld season one. I put that up there with Succession. Whatever you want to say, I put it up there with it.
Yeah.
How about this Haunting of Hill House, Midnight Mass, all that stuff. I put it up there with it. It's in my pantheon.
For like one and done's,
yes, or just like okay. seasons of television. Even
okay, yeah,
even
fair.
Yeah, that's where I roll.
But yeah, so he crushed it, and so that's why I was a little sad when you said that they're not going to be doing the spores in the Last of Us show because like the last thing they did was Chernobyl, and so like air permeated dread mm-hmm. is something that Craig Mazin is very good at.
Oh, I'm sure there's going to be plenty of air permeated dread.
You know what I mean, though?
Yeah, like, yeah. I think this show is going to be atmospheric as hell.
Yeah. Well, I meant literal air permeated mm-hmm. dread, like the spores, like sure, the yeah. radiation that's floating in the air. And like they did a really good job of like the sequences in Chernobyl. I've rewatched it a couple of times where they're like sending people down into like the water and stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, like their flashlights start going out and yeah. stuff. And they're like, they need to drain the water in order for this pump to be able to work because otherwise this thing's going to happen, yada, yada. They do a really, really good job of like the visual effects throughout that. And like, I I don't like the idea of like, oh, it's too much special effects or it's too many masks. Like, that was one of the most affecting things in Chernobyl, was when these dudes are wearing these masks and they use the point of view shots of like, you see the goggles on either side of the screen and like the big black bar in between where the lenses are separated and then the lights start going out and stuff. That was some of the most effective cinematography in that entire show, which is one of the best limited series of all time. And so for it to say like, oh, we don't want to put Pedro Pascal in a mask again, and it's like, well, yeah, if it's worth it, you know, but I guess in the world of The Last of Us, there's inevitably going to be a lot of that. If like, if you establish that spores are a thing, then there's going to be a shit ton of masks. Basically, anytime you're indoors, there's going to have to be masks.
I wonder if just like production costs on gas masks were too high.
You know,
I honestly think it's
inflation, Joe Biden's economy, man.
I think
gas masks are at a premium.
I think the spores are one of the more weak aspects of the game's narrative itself anyway. Like, it never really made sense because it's a video game. You don't care that like they're still on your clothes. Like scientifically, it doesn't make sense that they're not very careful about the spores and that doesn't ever. The spores infect zero people in the game that I can recall ever. I'm sure they did in the world.
Yeah.
But in the game, like there's no character that's like, I forgot my mask or something that you would expect. Like narratively, it comes into play zero times. So I can see like as a showrunner, you're like, let's just fucking get rid of those spores. You know, like it doesn't even make any sense. As soon as they're outside, they're fine.
Like the only time it comes into play is when Ellie just walks through without, you know.
That's the only thing. I was going to say that too. That's kind of a neat thing that you can do as Ellie. But and then in the second game, which Ellie wears one for pretend. And I don't know if I caught that. I was like, huh, that's funny. So we're stuttering now because there's spoilers. That's where we're stuttering.
So what are your, each of your, I guess, individually hopes, like highest hopes for the show, but like, what are your biggest concerns and fears?
Andy?
Okay. Shit. Biggest concerns and fears. One of the most effective things that this that the story that they did in the game was the side characters not feeling like just a one and done. Like there are sequences that occur throughout the game that feel like they would just be an episode and then we move on from it. And I really hope that we get more of the lived in feel of the side characters that it felt like through the games. There's there's like a pair of brothers that you meet throughout the course of the story of the game that are really, really important, really emotionally impactful, and set the stakes in a way that, like, if it hadn't already been clear how dark and how foreboding this world is, this really drives it home. And they didn't feel like a one and done, like set the stakes and move on from it. They felt it felt like the experience that the main characters have with them is impactful and lasting.
Yeah.
And I don't want this sequence of here's this character from the game and here's their showcase in 90 minutes. And now let's move on to the next one.
Yeah.
And here's the showcase. Remember this guy? I'm afraid of that, but I have more faith in the showrunners than that, but it would be really easy for it to be a series of the showcase moments and characters from the game, to kind of like a greatest hits album and then, you know, wrap it up the story the way that it wraps up. So I want the side characters that are introduced to be lasting and I want their stories to be impactful. I don't want it to be the two main characters running through a like Rolodex of, of side characters. And so that's a big fear.
Yeah.
What about you?
I was just thinking about what you were saying. I mean, isn't that kind of how the game does it with those characters though? Because it's a travel story, right? So you don't spend much time with really anybody.
But it feels more like an organic, like weaving in and out, you know, it's like this people come in, they leave, they come in, they, you know, you reach different people. There's different like types of people you encounter and things like that too. As you weave in and out of these lives, you know, as you said, it's kind of it's a road Western, you know, in its own right. And so I think, like you want those interactions to feel organic and like these people are just kind of dropping in and out or whatever, but not just something where
I don't want like introduce Bill and that's just Bill's episode six, you know what I mean?
Just like a one episode, like introduce them to kill them, introduce them to write them out again kind of thing. Like
exactly.
Like let somebody kind of like at least maybe
that's one of my fears too, but it's like as far as Bill specifically, I don't know how to do that. I really don't see a way. You know, even when the characters, a lot of them don't die, but it's just they, like I said, the main characters move on. So
maybe
it's
at least hit like the emotional beats that they provide, and not just like, well, we put them in there, you know.
Yeah, I couldn't see Bill being in it for more than an episode, honestly. And the same goes for Sam and Henry. But maybe
we also know that they're introducing additional characters that
they are
in the game, and that's a huge concern for me too. Like, it is a phenomenal story that if you filmed it beat for beat would be one of the best shows ever made.
So. And additional characters though could be like in the show, it's a different medium. So they got to spend more time in, what do they call them? Like the outpost in Boston or whatever. Mm-hmm. So maybe there'd be some like little shifty guys that you talk to trade your bread with or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like those could be the characters that they're talking about introducing. But what I'm looking forward to most is Bill is high up on there. Mm-hmm. As soon as I found out,
it's Nick Offerman.
Well, I knew it was Nick Offerman before I even knew who Bill was. If I'm being honest. True, right. So as soon as I played the game and experienced Bill, I was like, I had Nick Offerman in my mind the entire time. And I was like, holy shit. I mean, if you don't know who Bill is, if you don't play the games, they run into this. He's a kind of a friend of Joel's. And he lives outside the city limits. He chooses to be free, but live in the more dangerous area. And so, like he keeps some of the zombies, the clickers is what they call them, as like the defense for his outpost. Like, so he has them wander the walls and stuff in like preordained areas. And he's a nutbag, right? As you can imagine, he's like not a flat earther, but definitely a doomsday prepper kind of guy.
Yeah.
And I think that character is going to be great. And I just picture him from Parks and Rec.
Yeah. Bill has definitely bid on and won multiple auctions involving like storage containers.
Yeah. Yes. 100%.
They also like really effectively and subtly establish who he was prior to the events of the game. Mm-hmm. And I want more of that. Mm-hmm. And I want that in the show. I don't want it to be ham-fisted.
I guess my biggest fear is they're not going to... and it's HBO, so I shouldn't have this fear, but I think they've said it's less gory than the game.
Really?
And
I guess that's fair.
That makes me sad. And I do like gore, but I don't even mean it in that sense. I just don't want them to tiptoe any part of this story because it's brutal. Like, this is the Game of Thrones of post-apocalypse to me, this story. It's like, what would people actually do? Not if you want to love the character, and what would a hero do? What would people do?
Right.
And that's what I love about Game of Thrones at times, and that's what I love about playing the game. I was like, holy shit, that is not a likable move, but that is seems true to that character.
Yeah.
And I love that, you know, and I don't want them to have to tiptoe or polish anything off at all to make it more palatable.
I don't know if they're necessarily trying to make it more palatable, but like, in just by virtue of it being a video game, there's inevitably going to be the gameplay showcase moments, the shootout with, you know, here you're in Pittsburgh and let's do the shootout here. And, you know, you got to get through. Now it's hard. And get through the mini boss here. And,
I don't expect them to like fight 37 human people together
every episode.
Kill them all. Yeah.
What's the body count by the end of the game?
Oh my God. The ludonarrative dissonance of Uncharted.
Like, yeah, I have no idea, like, how...
Ellie's 14, and she just dispatches 19 grown men. Yeah. Oh, I think that's all of them. And it's like, damn.
Like, you're hiding around a corner.
But
like,
she can't swim.
Yeah.
You're hiding around a corner trying not to get caught, and then, like, the AI sends her out running around. It's like, somehow she didn't get seen. Like, I want to see the outtakes of that. Well, one of the most impactful things, and I think one of the reasons why The Last of Us, the game, had so much critical acclaim and caught so much attention when it came out, never mind just the fact that it's Naughty Dog and everybody was going to pay attention anyway, but when it had those brutal moments, it made you feel it in a way that most games don't. Like when you choke somebody out, like the camera pans around and you see their eyes go wide. You see them scrambling, trying to pull your arm down. Like you watch them die as opposed to just being like a nameless person. Even though they are a nameless person, you feel their death in a way that you don't normally get.
Yeah, they're not red-shirted at all.
Exactly.
Without spoiling anything, they were really good about that in Last of Us 2.
Yes.
Where, like, if you choke somebody out or you're, like, you know, you kill somebody or whatever, you kind of just like leave the body discarded. Like sometimes a person will see, like that's part of that same group, they'll see that body and they'll be like, oh my God, Caleb.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh fuck, Caleb.
I killed Caleb.
But they're not like, oh my God, Caleb. He was 2 weeks away from retirement with the sun on the window. They don't lay it on thick, you know? They're not like, but yeah, it's, I loved that. I thought that was such a nice touch.
Yeah.
For retirement from the Cannibal Club.
Right, you know?
Yeah, that's, I'm only 5 hours into two, but some of the mechanics, but I also played the PS5 remake of the first game. And so a lot of the game mechanics that were so much better in the second game, they put into the first game.
I'm sure.
So I'm kind of like, I didn't get the mind blowing part two does this now because I played the version of part one that had that.
Yeah.
Cause you'd shoot somebody in the leg and they'd go, oh my God, please just let me go. I swear I'll never tell it. You're like, they start doing that and you're like, can't trust you, man. Also, this is fun. But yeah, I think Craig Mazin is the perfect person to tell that kind of story. I 100% expect to have those moments. Like I could just see Pedro Pascal doing it too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's Joel as a character is ruthless.
Yes.
He's a survivor, right? Like we find that out towards the end of the game and there's more emphasis on it, but even throughout, like just in general, like I love that kind of, there's been movie characters like him.
Yeah.
That like they subvert expectation and in a negotiation will just kill the guy and say, I'll figure it out myself. Like, we see that a lot, but when Joel does it, it seems like really surprising and real.
Well, I think it's really important the way that the game and hopefully the show opens to really emphasizes that like you were watching this man lose his last hope. Like pretty much as this shit starts, you know, and then you're taking the story 19 years in. So now he's like even more jaded and more worn and things like that. And yeah, I think Pedro Pascal is going to be perfect for that, too, because he can, you know, express that. I think.
Yeah. Props to the casting director for Last of Us. I mean, it was an incredible job. Like people that I wouldn't have thought of, admittedly, if I was going to like fan cast this game.
Yeah.
But now that they've cast them, I'm like, holy shit, that's a good idea. You know, especially like Bill and Nick Offerman. That's money.
Yeah.
That is money. It is going to be hard. I don't give a shit what they look like, but it's going to be hard. The voices are so distinct and wonderful in the game. Troy Baker and Ashley Johnson that play the two leads did wonders for voice acting in games in general with those performances. And like those are heralded as some of the best voice performances in gaming of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And
they even did like a road show where they would act out scenes on stage.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Of The Last of Us, which is interesting.
And you can look up like outtakes where they like fuck around and like have a character like sing their lines and stuff. It's so much fun. You got to check it out on YouTube. So it is going to take a minute to not hear their voices. Like they're so distinct. And when we were talking before about Elliot Page's likeness being used for Ellie or being similar, Ellie has become ingrained in my brain and I think in pop culture in general as like such a distinct person. I forgot about all the Elliot Page stuff because like I don't see any likeness to them at all anymore. I see Ellie, you know?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that credit goes to the voice actors establishing them as feeling like a real person. And so it is going to be hard to hear a different voice.
Yeah. Well, you'll have the face to help attach you along with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
And they seem to have done, I've seen early stills. I haven't watched the trailer as much as you guys might have because I typically don't do that, but I have seen stills of the clickers and they look pretty spot on.
Oh my God. They look incredible.
And those
they
things really are terrifying.
Yeah. And just like the sound. I love when the day before HBO did the first trailer or teaser or whatever, they did the HBO. They're like coming tomorrow. And it was the HBO like static start that, you know, they bump every show with. But it's like as it goes, oh, and like fades out, it fades into the clicker sound.
Oh, that's
cool. And that was like their way of being like, oh, Last of Us trailer tomorrow. But like just hearing that, I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be good.
It's scary.
At least the trailer is going to be good.
And it's going to be like scary.
Going back to like biggest fears, my whole thing is like them knocking it out of the park in episode one. And by episode four, we're just getting a batch of sixes, you know, where we're just like, I really hope and want it more than anything to be great, but I really hope it's sustainably great. And that's where I'm really like Chernobyl had no problem doing that. But like, and I don't think this will either.
I mean, the pacing of the story that they say they're telling is perfect everything, for this.
I know. And,
once I found out they're doing the whole thing in season one, I was like, done. It's going to be awesome.
It seems like such a slam dunk. And the biggest tell for me that it's going to be good is there's not been a lot of like, clips and footage, like trying to sell you on it in the days coming up to the release. Like the promotion for it's been pretty quiet.
Nobody on TikTok's been paid to talk about it or anything. I emailed HBO for screeners and they said no.
And they're not like
they're really feeling confident about this.
And they're not doing shit like here's the first 10 minutes. You know, it's not like anything like that. It's like here's a teaser, here's a trailer, fuck you, wait till the 15th, you know? And it's like that for me is like cool. Like I'm comfortable with that, but I am still so nervous. Because I think, like I said, it's almost too easy to
We've been hurt before.
Yeah.
I would say with video games, every time.
Yeah.
The thing I'm most excited about is this actually getting to be accessible to people who won't play the game. Mm-hmm. You know, because
the game's going to sell like hotcakes again after this.
Frankly, I know this is controversial, but my least favorite thing about The Last of Us games is the fucking game part of it. Like
I get you. That's the reason I didn't play it for so long.
I think, and I assume this is where you're going with it. That's not a detriment to the gameplay, but rather an elevation of how much you respect the story.
I think the story is a 14 out of 10 instead of a 6 out of 10 game. My big thing is, and it still makes 10 out of 10, but my big thing is I was okay, great. It's a survival horror. It is an action adventure lightly, but like it's also crafting. I think it needed to pick a stronger, like succinct lane to kind of work into. Cause I'm like the
ammo. Do you think the second one's better?
I think it does better, but I'll get to something I did in the second one too. But with the first one, I'm like, okay, the ammo distribution, like the health stuff for me, I'm like that. I was cranking this down to like the easiest difficulty, aim assist on. I'm terrible at video games, but there's just that part of me that I'm like, I either need more ammo, there needs to be less people in this room, or they need less resources to like fight against me. And you get through it, and I understand it's supposed to be difficult, but there are times that I'm just like, this game is woefully off balance for like everything it's going for. And so there's a spot in part two.
Get good, bro.
I really, honestly, that may be it too. But like, there's just this part of me where I'm like, oh my God, like, I know you can't play them like Uncharted games, and I wasn't trying to, but it was just where, like, for some reason, like, the actual, like, everything, the way it was set up and the way it handed it to me.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I quit playing it twice. I tell people I didn't play the game until recently, but what really happened is in 2013, I tried to play the game. Mm-hmm. And
Animal Crossing came out the same week
and I hated it in the sense of like I'd be shooting somebody and like I would die and like this is like the teach you how to play the game part and I'm dying and I'm like, okay, it's a little embarrassing, a little weird, and I'm not like terrible at games in general. Typically
people, you have a rock and six bullets.
I would pop up to shoot and I would like roll out of cover and get shot a bunch and then start crafting a Molotov instead of shooting. Like, what the fuck is going on? Like it was frustrating me, so then I put it down. Years later, I tried to play it again at Andy's insistence, and I got to the first part with the clickers underground.
Yeah.
And this time I'm still like a little awkward with the gameplay style, but I'm starting to get better, and it scared the shit out of me. Mm-hmm. I was having like anxiety issues. Oh, yeah. I don't like horror games. I've said this on air before, I think.
Oh my God. Yeah.
For some reason, movies, like horror movies, hardly ever affect me in that way. Like where I'm actually uncomfortable. I'm just like either in the story or I think it's silly.
Well, horror games, you can
fuck me up.
Yeah. Horror movies, you can sit back and go, hey, don't go down that hallway. And then she goes down the hallway.
Yeah, you're right.
And then but like
in the know, game, you have to game, go down the
like,
hallway.
Yeah. Some guy's got a gun to your head. Like go down the hallway.
What the fuck do I do?
And you don't want to, and it's that one camera shot in Resident Evil and the window's there and you're like, I'm gonna take five steps and here comes a dog, and like you can call it five steps dog and you still like pee in your pants.
Yeah,
you know, like it's yeah.
Did you ever play what was that, Evil Within? It was one of the early PS4 games.
No,
that it's game incredible. Terrified me.
Horror games,
I played like 30 minutes of it and I was out because this giant mass dude with a chainsaw was chasing me, and it was one of those games where all you can do is run and you're like hobbled, so like you get away at the like last second, and I was like, I'm done, Andy, I'm not playing this anymore. So anyway, Last of Us scared me off the second time. Fast forward to when Jimmy bought me the Last of Us Part 1, the PS5 remake of it. I guess the mechanics are a little easier, next gen style. I actually love the gameplay now. Mm-hmm. I really, really love it. Like the whole, the fact that it's so hard to shoot people and you only have 9 bullets is really neat, because it makes it, it's kind of like Red Dead. It's kind of when you do shoot someone in the head, you're fucking, you earned that.
Yeah.
Like nobody helped you get that headshot and it feels so good.
Yeah. I just don't think the balance is right.
And you don't even need bullets.
Yeah.
If you want to be a sneaky boy,
right.
Be a sneaky boy.
Crowbar. But there's a spot and you'll know what I'm talking about and I'll explain it without spoiling it because it is part of Last of Us Part Two. But it is pretty much right at the end. And it takes the camera through pretty much everything you've got to go through. And then it just drops you back at Ellie and you have just like jack shit to work with. And you've got like, and I remember sitting there and I'm on like hour 25 of this game. And this is actually where I kind of realized I'm like, I don't know if I want to keep playing video games anymore. I sat there and I just was like so tired of it already. I'm just like, no. Fuck this. And I went into the accessibility settings and there is a setting you can turn on where you are invisible if you are lying on your belly. And I army crawled my way through the last like 15 minutes of The Last of Us to get to the end. I was just like, no, I'm not doing it. And like I belly crawled through everything. I looked at all this, I was like, fuck this. I'm not doing it. Nope. Hit it on the first try. No problem.
Like, nope. Nailed it.
I get it, man. As I get older, the easy setting is more and more like
I was
tempting. Tempting, yes.
I was so 80-20. I'm just like, give me the story. Like I'm tired.
Well, eventually Andy told me after my second playthrough where I was like scared off, and this is now I didn't try again until for what six, seven years,
something like that. Yeah. Long time.
Andy called me and was like, "Look, the story is so good that I recommend that you play it on easy mode just to get through the story in a few hours. That like, it's really important that you experience the story." And that wasn't challenging enough to keep my interest though. Like I tried like from the first frame to play it on easy. That was so I tried three times. I forgot the third time.
And then you got to like start through that whole thing again, you know?
So yeah. And then that held you back for a few years. So I watched the first scene with Joel four times.
Yeah. That's brutal.
Yeah. It was emotionally.
I had a lot of fucking fun. I had a lot of start and stop on Last of Us too. I had to sit through that a couple times as well. Yeah.
So right now I'm currently the 5 or 6 hours in the second one. So I get what you're saying 100%. And that's where I ended up rage deleting God of War Ragnarok. Cause like this, it has this game mechanic where, you guys have both played a lot of God of War. So you know how there's the, heavy attacks and stuff, but then there's like the combo attacks where you start, like if you press, it's complicated to say if depending on
it's
the
like circle X square R1
They're preset to each weapon. Like the axe does R, if you press R1 it'll shoot this shaft of ice out, right? Like anyway, you can still be hit while doing those. And I feel like when I'm fighting these bosses that are super hard and they literally have like a hair's breadth of health left, and the game mistakenly goes into one of those animations and then I get hit doing that and I die. Like I literally, I pressed options, deleted the game because I'd already beat the story.
What would you do? What would you do if that wasn't a bug, but a feature? And like, as he's doing it, Kratos just goes, "Look at what I can do." Just hit some crazy button combo. And you're like, "What?"
Well, that game
It'll make it better.
Does something really effective where it does kind of a fake out where you get what looks like a game over screen and it's not actually a game over. That was something that they trick you with a pretty big named character battle within the first hour or so of the game, if you can remember that.
Yes.
Which is to say, like, maybe you deleted the game at a time when you shouldn't have, and maybe that you actually won that fight and you just didn't know it.
No, I didn't, because I had fought. That was the guy. That was the hidden boss that I worked to. It's just 100% the game.
Yeah.
And I'd fought him already like 9 times. And I died this way many times already. Yeah. So I knew for sure it was over. It was time to restart. And I just wasn't willing to.
When I finally beat the Valkyrie Queen in God of War 2018, I just wanted to dunk my head in a tank of ice.
Like so many people, it's a debate whether the person I was fighting for is harder than her or not. Okay. I don't know I didn't play her in the first one. I didn't even try.
It was a solid,
I only
like
got through
hours.
Like 6 or 7 Valkyries in the first
hours?
Game.
It was like 6 hours for me to beat that.
Wow.
It's like a Dark Souls thing to fight those Valkyries and the Berserkers in the second game. But
well, you can get a really good pattern like to knock out a ton of the Valkyries, but like the whole strategy when you go to the queen is completely thrown out, because they always recommend like, hey, like as like you can hit the Valkyrie as they open the wings on this Last of Us podcast when we're talking about God of War. The Valkyrie's wings open up and then you can just start like beating the shit out of them, and it just starts before really the match even starts, you're just chipping away at the health. So like, it becomes kind of this adapted strategy you can take in. When you go to do the Valkyrie queen, she's just like, you know, I'm in my case of wings, and you go up to like start the animation and she just like grabs you by the head and drags you across the ground. You're like, oh, I can't do that anymore. Like, oh,
that's cool.
Yeah. Though. It just like that. Yeah. Oh my God.
They switch it up for the last one. That's goodness. Pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, The Last of Us is the first game that was like genuinely challenging to me in that way. And I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Except for one I did not enjoy. I called Jimmy. I didn't talk to you about this. I don't think there's a scene in the first game where you have to start a generator in this hotel building.
Yeah, when you were talking about the flashlights and Chernobyl, I'm like, oh, that generator scene could have really hit different. And it probably will.
I didn't brighten my TV or anything, like cowardly, you know, like I can't see shit except for what my flashlight can see. And I'm trying to start this generator. And then I hear the, and I'm like, what, where are they? What is that even? Cause it's actually a new type of enemy as well. Hated it. So my heart was pounding. I had,
you hated it because of how scary it was.
Right? I hated how effective it was. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And like I had my, pulse headset on because I have a 5 month old. Mm-hmm. So like it is inside me, like this, like 360 degree, like sound. Right. And it's late at night because my daughter's asleep. That's the only time I can play. Mm-hmm. I tried to call Jimmy. He didn't answer. Like I needed.
You needed a fucking co-pilot.
I needed him to get in a party chat with me to get through this part of the game. Otherwise I was alone.
Yeah.
Dude, horror games are so much easier if somebody's sitting on the couch with you.
Yes.
It's fast.
You can joke and be like,
right.
Was this scary or something? Yeah, man, here they come. It was so scary. Gonna bite me. Exactly.
Makes a huge difference.
I was by myself. So I was like,
my horror VR sucks.
I almost quit again
because of that scene.
That scene was very like, it was that scary for me. I was like, oh my God, Jimmy's gonna be so mad when I don't finish this game. But the second try I did it. I looked up a walkthrough, I'm not gonna lie,
that's fine.
Those don't always work, because I don't know if you've experienced this in Last of Us, when you die and restart it, like the scenario is slightly different. You know what I mean? It doesn't let you like track the patterns of the clickers and stuff, because they'll be in different spots. And like, I'll be like, oh, okay, that one comes in that door, and then I'll kill that one. And I'll go for the left guy, and then someone new will drop down on me. I'm like, where did that guy come from? Yeah. And like, they kind of restart. So anyway, so the walkthrough was actually useless, because it said, kill the stalkers as quickly as you can. If you run through the hallway fast enough and use the door key card, you will avoid a bloater attack, right? That's what it said. And I was like, okay, I've got to kill these guys quickly.
Yeah.
So I start the generator. I turn around. There's a bloater first through the door. I'm like, what is that walkthrough?
Well, I think difficulty plays a role too. Because I feel like if you put the game on easy, there might not be a bloater.
Probably.
I don't know. Because I think difficulty would adjust where, like what spawns where.
I'm trying to say this in a way that's not, I don't mean it as, I'm not offending anyone intentionally or anything. I still have this dumb 12-year-old part of me that feels like uncool if I take it below moderate. Even though no one's there, no one will know, and no one thinks I am cool for playing it on moderate. Right? Like everybody online's like, I beat it 6 times on grounded, right?
That's great. Nobody asked you to do that. Games are meant to be played. Like, shut the fuck up, like with the gatekeeping.
Yeah. I turn on permadeath or I don't play.
Yeah, great.
Have you tried that?
No. You want to know why? Because I want to play the fucking game and enjoy it.
It's such a crazy concept. Like if you die, you're literally dead and you have to start over.
There's a ton of stuff like that. Yeah.
A lot of games that are like that.
I mean, a lot of like strategy games are especially like,
that like Diablo and shit.
Or like original games like Contra. That was just when you die, you're done. Yeah. Mario.
I beat the game on the hardest. It's fucking cool.
Well, that's what my buddy said. I called him and he was like, try grounded.
No.
like he talks like Duke Nukem too. It's weird.
Sure. Where is it?
Try it on grounded. Dibs on skins.
I'm a bad, bad baby.
I only hit like 3 bullets throughout the whole game. What? Why?
Craft this.
Lots of obscure Duke Nukem references now for anybody that.
Oh my God.
For our two fans that are Duke Nukem fans. Right. But yeah, that's the show's gonna be cool, baby.
I hope so. I'm really excited.
I'm staking my professional reputation on the fact that this is gonna be a wowzer of a show.
I am most excited for however they decide to tell the story, as much as they deviate to and from the game, whatever. I am excited that this world, these characters, this universe will get to be experienced and accessed by people who normally wouldn't.
Yes.
You know, like And that it's the one thing I want for like every video game I love, is for everybody who can't play or won't play the video.
They're making
game.
A Mass Effect show.
Yeah, but will they fuck it up? We'll see.
Probably.
You know, it's not.
Isn't it like a Netflix thing?
I don't know, man.
It's not probably a good sign.
Amazon. But still.
Oh, that'd be worse.
I feel like that ships in. But the closest thing that I have to a Mass Effect movie is Star Trek 09, and that might just be good enough.
You are like, just tickling Steve's keys, his ivories.
I'll tickle his keys. I am excited for this great property to be able to be accessed by people who otherwise could not or would not.
Yeah.
So good or bad, however they do it.
Good for them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad somebody else. Well, so it might be somebody's new favorite show.
Yes,
it's going to be mine. Maybe. I'm an unabashed whore for HBO.
You put the H and the O.
I do.
Ew. Yep. I don't like it.
And they can have my B whenever they want.
What the fuck's that? You bitch.
Like, they pay me no money,
right?
And I just hype up everything that they do, and it almost never lets me down. Almost never.
Almost never.
Euphoria season 2.
I don't know.
You don't watch that show?
Nah.
Yeah.
I need to.
And like, put Industry, nobody's talking about that. Succession's phenomenal. All the way back to the, you know, of course, the origins of peak TV starts with HBO. Oz. You know, The Wire, Oz, The Sopranos, all that stuff. So I'm an unabashed whore for HBO. So that's The Last of Us. Next week, Sunday, January 15th. I think it airs at 9 p.m. Eastern time. There's that's a
sweet HBO spot. Sundays at 9. That's how you know they love
they've
it.
They've cornered that market.
Yeah, that's and how you know that they're like,
this is their thing.
But yes. Exactly. It's so hard for us to on the East Coast to have to cover a show that airs at 9.
Right.
Never mind the recording and the editing.
Yeah, the fact you guys do that's nuts. Like,
it's a nightmare.
Being first or last in this business, if we drop it on Wednesday, everybody's gonna be like, oh,
you're always trying to.
I've already listened to 6 podcasts,
right? And you're just there banging the drum like, we gotta beat those chumps at the ringer.
Here's what's crazy is, and I'll end with this advice to you podcasters out there that want to try to do this. When we're doing Stranger Things season 4, Andy and I discussed, maybe let's not get together at 3 a.m. because that's when Netflix, they're even worse. Netflix is fucking terrible.
Right.
They drop theirs at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
So it can be midnight in LA.
Like midnight
fuck us, right?
You know, right.
Yeah. It's midnight somewhere. So we have to get together at 3 a.m., watch the episode till 4-ish, and then record till 5-ish, and then edit till 6-ish, and then post it, go to sleep, and come back and start doing the other episodes because they're a binge model. So we can't even slow down.
Right.
It's annoying on many fronts. Andy and I were like, Steve, let's not even do that this year. And Steve, to his credit, the genius that he is, was like, I think it's really important that we're first. And I was like, I don't think it is. I don't think it fucking matters. Nobody cares what we do no matter what.
Yeah.
And
I love a good defeatist approach.
I had been, you know, I had been defeated. And he was like, I really think let's just try it. Right. And we fucking blew up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like number one in the world for a minute, for a hot second. Joe Rogan looked up at us.
Right.
And
he said, I wonder if they've tried my snake oil.
So never again will I shit on the first year last approach.
It's true. You got to be hottest out the gate sometimes. Makes a difference.
Because no one else was willing to do that.
Right.
You know, and we were just crazy enough to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you to all of our listeners that have stuck with us since then. I hope that you love this show. If you don't like horror, if you don't like video games, I honestly still think you should give this a shot because it's got elements of different things that make it something quite special. Yeah. From all the things that you think it might be.
Yeah. The show is going to be incredible.
I think early Walking Dead is a close comparison as far as like what I hope the quality will be. But I honestly think it'll be better than that.
Yeah.
And it's more emotional. I appreciate you all for sticking around. I think that covers everything we really wanted to do.
Yeah, I think so.
So stick with, I don't know when Deathly Hallows Part 1 will come out. Maybe sometime this week. It really depends on how quickly Steve's dog heals.
Yeah.
Pippin the dog.
What's your poor little boy?
We miss Pippin the dog.
It's really weird to be on like the outside of some of these inside jokes, you know, like when you bring somebody in who like I don't listen like all like I'm so semi-regular listener, you know. So when I sit down, I don't hear the episodes with Pip and the dog, and this has happened twice now. I'm just kind of like,
there's many of them.
Yeah. And I'm like, you guys like Pip and the dog. I'm like, Chris and I are wearing kind of the same shirt. I got nothing else to do while this is happening, you know.
You can always throw it. Our show is really you could just say whatever and act like it's an inside joke. Yeah. Like you could pull like a Austin Powers Dr. Evil thing on underwear, like throw me a freaking bone here.
Yeah. But see, then
and our listeners will be like, that's an inside joke. Keep doing that.
You know, but I would end up sounding like I was forcing it. You know?
That's true. Yeah. You really got to go for it.
Right.
In Steve's world. We're just living in Steve's world.
Yeah. Post-apocalyptic poll on Patreon. God, that's a alliteration.
Post-apocalyptic poll. Harry Potter.
Harry Potter coming up soon.
Imagine Tom Felton saying post-apocalyptic poll. He would lose his fucking mind. He would blow a gasket. That should be up as you're hearing this. So go vote on patreon.com/streamingthings. Anybody of any tier, $5 and above, can vote on the Patreon poll for the January movie.
And everybody should vote for Death Race 2000.
Death Race 2000, baby. Or write in if you'd like us to watch the Jason Statham version at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. Follow us on all the socials. You can follow Alex on Twitter at It's All Subjective.
Yeah, without the E at the end. If you just type it until Twitter says, hey, that's too many characters, take off that E.
Because that's how he made the name up.
Yep.
My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
I'm Alex.
Thank you so much. This is Streaming Things. Happy streaming, bitches. This month, we got some new patrons to thank. We are so thankful, so grateful to all of you who throw your hard-earned monies our way. Money, money, monies. We got the new Try Before You Deny producers, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez and Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car. That is actually their Christian name.
I can't imagine does that fit on a library card?
Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car. Yes, because in a Barbie Car is put as a last name. So
okay, what's the middle initial? I thought N was the middle initial.
No, you're right.
I thought it was like Rabbit Dog N.
I don't think in that part of the world wherein Rabbit Dog hails, there is a middle name.
Mountain Time.
Yeah. Yes, for sure. In the Marty B VIP producers category, we've added Node KS, Charlie Friday. That's not real. It might be. That's awesome. You were named after a secret agent, and I love it. Heather Joe, Sheila Huff. I'm so sorry in advance. I'm going to try my best. Niamh McDyer and Micah Tybee. Micah Tybee.
I was reading that one before.
Ethan Gregory.
I got that one.
Casey McNatt, Nicole Herring, and Daisy JT. And in the chocolate pudding producers, we've added Meddler on the Roof. Love it. Lane Crawford, Christiana Saya, Blaze King, Ellie Montiranta, Randy F, Carrie Gerard, Tyler Sowers, Cadet, Alyssa Anderson, Sabra Watkins, Jade Spade Marmalade, and Naris Martinez. And in the Friends Don't Lie producers, we've added Mike and Sheila. And I, again, apologize to anyone whose name I did not pronounce correctly. I did my best. My heart was in it.
I feel like you
Mike's going to be like, it's McKay.
It could be. Thank you all so much. We love you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.